We are coming to the end of the year. In fact, we're already right there, that tomorrow is a new year. And on the one hand, it's somewhat arbitrary, but it is the tradition that you start with that new calendar, everything is blank, and you start filling things in. You get to make a fresh start of things. And coming to the end of the year, you get to look back and see what has happened in the year behind you, and you look forward. How are things going to go the next year? Spending time remembering what happened in the last 12 months, those good things and those bad things. To remember them because they will almost certainly affect the next 12 months. Memory is a big part of who we are and what we do. It's a little bit annoying if you forget something. If you begin forgetting things regularly, it gets really annoying. And if you're not able to remember things in general, well, it can completely change your life. Oftentimes, when we encourage people, we encourage them through memory. We ask whether people do remember things. Often we remind people of things because we've had a conversation before and maybe an agreement has been reached. And if they just remember, they'll follow through. But that doesn't always happen. There are all types of songs and movies that are focused on what people remember. In fact, there's a whole genre of movies of people who get hit on the head and don't remember things. Oftentimes, it'll be a romantic comedy. The person who doesn't remember things and then falls in love. Sometimes they're falling in love again with their own spouse. Sometimes they fall off a boat and hit their head and someone else takes them in to do all the chores. Oh yeah, you're my husband, you got to do all the work. Sometimes they only later in the movie realize they're not the person they thought they were. They've been living someone else's life. And they now know the memories are never going to come back because it wasn't their life to start with. Songs take the same tactic to remind you of things that happened before. Do you remember the good old times? Do you remember when we had so much fun together? You know that song, "Do you remember the 21st night of September? Love was changing the minds of pretender and chasing the clouds away. Baria, say do you remember? Baria, dancing in September." You know the song. It's about, do you remember? There's nothing else in that song besides asking, does the person remember? If you remember it, if you just remembered that day, remember we had that one really good date. We went dancing. It was September 21st. Later in the song, they say, now it's December. Maybe there haven't been any other dates in between, but if you could just remember that one day, we'd be in love again. And it feels like that sometimes. Sometimes we have days that we wish we could forget. If you could just not remember that one day, then life would be easier. And maybe you have times like that with the person you love. Well, if you could remember that one time, though. That's the old joke of, you know, the old married couple. And the wife asks a husband, "Would you still love me?" "Yeah. I told you I loved you when we got married. I'd update you if it changed." Don't you remember that day? What do you remember? What things are shaping your life because you remember them? What things do you need to look back on, and what is going to be most important going forwards? It's right to take time to remember the past, to remember what has already happened, and then to plan for the future because of it. If you don't remember what happened this year, there's a good chance you'll just fall into the same routines next year. That if you've forgotten things and they've fallen away, well, the only cure is remembering, being reminded. We're going to look today at a number of different verses, but we're going to start in 2 Peter. 2 Peter is a small letter near the end of the New Testament. 1 and 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation at the end of the New Testament. I'm going to have a number of places, even if we don't turn to all of them, that I'll reference here, but we'll start by reading a few verses this way. And chapter 1, 5 through 9 is what we'll focus on. I'm actually going to read starting in verse 3. I'm going to read 3 through 11, and then we'll focus in on that middle part. This is what Peter had written to the churches to encourage them. Speaking of God, he says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these quantities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be stirred up by your word. We ask that you would help us to apply it to our lives, even in those places where it is painful to do so, that you would transform us by your wisdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This passage, especially that section in 5 through 9, this chain of growth for the Christian, and it ends saying, if these things are increasing in you, then you are effective and fruitful in your knowledge. But if you lack them, you are so nearsighted that you are blind and you are forgotten, that you are cleansed from your former sins. Here, at least one of the keys to Christian growth, to living the life that you want to live as a follower of Jesus, is your memory. Remembering what God has done and who he is. You would think that remembering God would be easy for a believer, but we need reminders of that as well. To be remembering God in our normal life. Because it is all too easy to go through your life, even as a believer, someone who has even a great measure of faith on Sunday morning, even who reads their Bible on a regular basis and spends time in prayer, to go through your life in a way where the people around you would not realize that you know God. Where it is easy to forget that God is there with you. I find myself doing it. That something comes up and all too often my first response isn't, well, I should probably pray about this. Rather, my first response is, well, I'll just take care of it now. I can handle this one. And then those little reminders come. Oh yeah, God is here with me. God knew what was going to happen. He knew the problems that were going to come up. It wouldn't have hurt to say a few words to him along the way. Through Scripture, we see people reminded about the presence of God. In Nehemiah, for instance, as they are trying to rebuild and enemies are gathering, they are told, "Remember God, who is great and awesome." Remember God, who is great and awesome. If you just remember him, the enemies that are nearby will seem as nothing. Remember him. Of course, when we speak of remembering, we don't really mean, most of the time, that you've just forgotten about something and it's slipped your mind completely, but rather, pay attention, factor this in. Are you giving this the weight it deserves? Are you remembering God and what he does? We see in Scripture, sometimes it's done the other way, where God remembers something. And we would never say that God has just forgotten a whole lot of things. You know, in Genesis 30, the patriarchs of Israel are being born. All these sons that are coming into the world. And there's Rachel, the wife who is more loved, and yet, maybe even because of that in the text, the other wife is having all these kids. She's upset. And then it says that God remembered Rachel. There's no indication that God had taken a census of the world and realized he had lost track of a few people. Oh, I forgot about Rachel. Okay, yeah, no. He had two wives. Yeah, that makes sense now. Rather, he pays attention to her in a special way. He allows her to conceive, that she has a child. We are told to remember the Sabbath day. It's an interesting command, a command to remember. Remember the Sabbath day, but there's no indication that they thought the people of Israel were going to routinely miss a day of the week. Do weeks have 6 days or 7 days? Wait, you're taking the day off? Oh, that's right. I thought it was Monday already. I forgot about the Sabbath. But no, it says remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remembering isn't just about knowing that something is there, but about how it affects you. To remember God is to be reminded that he is present. He is looking after you. He is able and powerful. That it should affect you. Sometimes we tell kids this. Remember, God is watching. I have to go out of the room for a minute here. But God is watching. I'm going to be gone for a little bit, and I'm leaving you on your own in the sense that I will not be here. But whatever happens in this house, God is watching you. Do you understand what I am saying? This happens in the Bible as well. One of the kings puts a man to death, and as he's dying, he says, "The Lord will see this. He knows. He knows what's going on." God is watching. When you know that, you should change the way you live. You should do things differently because you remember that God is there. Some things that you might be embarrassed of, when you are reminded that God can see them, that no matter how far you try to separate yourself from other people, no matter how dark of a corner you try to go into, God is still watching. Remembering that might change your actions. But it's not just to remember the mere fact of God's presence, but remember what God has done. Remember God's work. Because God is an active God. Remember God's work in this world. That he has done many things. We are encouraged this way many times in Scripture, to remember the work of God, because over and over again, God's fulfilled promises are the reason that people are urged on to obedience. To remember that God is at work, that he is active in this world. In fact, the people of Israel, as they left Egypt, were reminded again and again from that date on, God being at work. Remember, God saved you from Pharaoh. Remember the way he saved your people. Remember the covenant that he made with you. Remember these promises. Remember the mighty deeds he has done in Joshua and Judges. We see that theme. That as they go through the land, they set up things to remind them of what God has done. And you get into Judges, and what happens? Pretty soon, that generation passes away. And their children, they pass away. And you get to a generation who does not remember. And everything starts to fall apart. They forgot what God has done. They forget his work and that he is active in this world. That the people who were faithful and remembered, their attitude changed. If you remember that God has saved you before, that he has been active before, that he has driven out your enemies before, then you should be motivated to trust him again. Throughout the scripture, these stories that are passed down to us are a form of remembrance. To remember what God has done in the past. To see his promises made and fulfilled. The work of the New Testament. To remember that God is active and good. To look forward to his promises and to say, oh yeah, the last times he followed through on these things. That's important because we probably all have known somebody who did not follow through, who would routinely say, oh, no problem, I'll take care of that. And there might be something in your house that is still not taken care of after years of promises like that. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get around to it. The only thing worse is when they say, no, you don't do it. No, you don't take care of it. I'm going to get to it. I will paint that. Please do not get out a paintbrush. Like, oh, you're getting out a paintbrush again. No, I'll take care of it. No, not today. A different day. And yet there are those people who are faithful over and over again. Where you barely mention something to them, and they say, you know what? We're going to get this figured out. And before you know it, they're at your house doing some work. Wow, you showed up right away. You know, I didn't even think it was that important. I didn't even count that as a promise. And yet, here you are, fixing something. God has done mighty deeds. He's at work in this world. Even that, though, may not be enough motivation. In this part we read from 2 Peter, the focus isn't just on the presence of God. It isn't even just on God's work in this world, but it is on God's work in each of us. Remember God's work in you, that God is at work in you. That's how the section that we read started out. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. God is at work not just in the grand scheme of things. They're not proclaiming just that story of Jesus coming and living as a man, of living a perfect life as an example of what none of us can do on our own, of laying down that life to pay for our sins and risen again. They're not proclaiming that message just as an FYI on the cosmic order, but bringing that message because it should touch you. Touch your heart. Granted to each of us these things pertaining to life and godliness. Remember what God has done for you. We start on this work of God in salvation. The most important thing. Salvation that comes to individual hearts. Transformation in your life. That God is at work in you. He has given you what you need. That we have been given the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in each of us, to stir us up, to remember what God is doing in your life. This was some of the first testimony that the people in the New Testament had about the work of Jesus. Even before his death and resurrection, those stories of people who were healed, demons driven out, people who came and said, you know, I don't yet know the theology behind it. I don't even know exactly how this thing works or what's going to happen with this man. But what I know is my eyes are open. What I know is that I can stand today. What I know is that the demon has been driven out. God is at work in each of us today who believe. And you may not have come to Christ in the same miraculous way. A poor, crippled beggar sitting on the side of the road, lifted up to walk again. But God is at work in you. This list of things, moving beyond just that first step of salvation, shows the way that we are called to grow. Verse 5 says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Make every effort. Being reminded that you are cleansed from your former sins is not an excuse to sit back and relax, but instead an encouragement to make every effort, to work harder and do more. That in fact, if you are not willing to put forth that effort, it's as though you have forgotten what has happened. You may remember the parable. The man who was forgiven a huge debt. And rejoicing in his forgiveness, he goes and finds his neighbor who owes him a little bit and throws him in jail. Maybe it finally started to matter to him. You know, when I owe $1 million to someone, collecting a $10 debt isn't going to make a difference. I'm still going to be very broke. But for this man, once the millions were forgiven him, well, now it's time for him to get his. So the king calls him in. You missed the whole point. How could you be so stingy in your forgiveness when I have forgiven you so greatly? Knowing that you've been cleansed of your former sins should change your life. Remember that God is at work in you. You may be able to look back to personal stories this last year. Ways that God answered prayer. Ways that he was at work and he moved among you. Ways he used you in ministry. Hopefully you look back and you do see that you did what Peter calls us to do. Making every effort in our faith to build virtue and knowledge, self-control, to have these things increase in our own lives, to see how you've grown because you did put that effort in. In verse 8, it has an encouragement, but there's a little edge of warning in there, isn't it? For if these qualities are yours, that's a good place to stop. To be able to say, oh yes, I have virtue, I've done a lot of good things. That I have knowledge, I understand much of what Scripture says. Self-control, we're getting a little better at that than I was 20 years ago at least. Steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. And to just say, well, at least I have a little bit of each of those. But the text doesn't stop it. If these things are yours, if these are yours and are increasing. to continue to grow, to see God at work. And if not, you're so nearsighted as to be blind. You know, I'm pretty nearsighted myself. Without my contacts on, without my glasses on, I think I always surprise my daughter if she comes in like in the morning and wants to show me something and I haven't put my glasses on yet. She's like, "Here, Dad, look at this." I'm like, "Come closer, come closer. Come closer, my child. It needs to be right here. No, no, press it against my nose so I can see." But what a shame to have that view of your own life. To not be able to see what God is doing, to not remember that you have been cleansed from your sin because God is at work in you. That God is at work through His Spirit to drive you not just to be satisfied in the level of virtue you have or in the godliness you already have or what has happened in the year behind, but when you look to the year ahead to say, "I can change because God is working in me. His Spirit is upon me. He has given me strength. And this year, things are going to be different. I'm going to grow." To make an effort to say, if I'm putting work into this, make every effort. How am I going to have knowledge this year? Maybe you have a reading plan of the Bible where every morning you check off another passage. Say, this year I'm going to get through the whole Bible. Or have a plan over the next 2 years to read through all of Scripture. To say, how are you going to grow in self-control? Growing in self-control can be a difficult one. First, you have to be willing to be in a situation where you need some self-control, where you had to be a little bit outside your comfort zone and then say, you know what, I can still deal with this. By the power of God, I don't have to fight back in this instant, or I can wait a little bit longer. How do you grow in brotherly love, caring for the people around you? Where are you going to be able to make an effort to do these things? That a year from now you would say, yes, I have these and I am growing in them. I remember that I have been cleansed from my sin. You have been cleansed. Set free from the power of sin that is on all people. But through faith, through the work of God, through His Spirit upon you, you are different. And you must remember that. To live a life that is different. That is different in this coming year than it was in the year we are wrapping up. Remember that God is there. Remember all the things that He has done. Remember the things He has done for you. And this year ahead. Keep track of what God continues to do. And make every effort to grow. To add to your faith. In all these ways that Peter lists. Building towards love as God loves us. Amen? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your power and Your wisdom. We ask that You would put ever in our minds the knowledge of You and Your presence and Your work in us. And that You would urge us on as we make every effort to grow in the way that You want us to grow. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please rise for the benediction.